Yes, friends, this last half an hour, we're going to dedicate it to the little children. Not all of it, but a part of it, the first part. As we've said many times, heaven is full of little children, all ages, but they come up, to look to be about the age of 7 years old. As I told you in the first half an hour of this tape about the beauty of the grown-ups, and what happens there. But among all this great spectacular reality, there's millions of little children from all the different countries of the world, happy, dancing, joyous, going among the older people and really happy. And these are especially blessed by Jesus. Jesus blesses the little children every day, and there's thousands of them. Now just think of all of those that were aborted, all of those that these terrible, murderous physicians dump them into a truck and take them off to the incinerator to burn them up. What a horrible murder that is. But yet God, in His mercy, brings that life, conception begins at the first part of life. And that's God's part, life. The little baby forms in the woman's womb, and nothing's more beautiful to see a baby born, to slap the little thing on the back of the back and suck the breath into the lungs, and he grows up to be a man. It's a wonderful sight to see the child born from a woman. And but here is the horrible thing, the abortion, the killing. But we're not going to dwell on that. We're going to take you back into heaven. Here's these millions of little children, and I say millions, dancing between the older people and doing their part in heaven. Now, I told you there's entertainment going on in heaven. And I told you that all the orchestras and all of this wonderful reality of heaven. And then there's the little children do their part. You see, they're playing on a great big playground there, 1,000 square miles, 10,000 square miles of playground with all the little children playing and happy. It's wonderful to see these happy children in heaven, real happy. They've not known anything about the heartaches of this world, such as all the things going on. But they were murdered, and they died of no fault of their own before they were 7 years old. They just heard about two little children that had blood transfusions, and they claimed the blood was contaminated. Now these little children are ostracized from society, not any fault of their own, because of this transfusion of blood into their bodies. And my friends, that's horrible. But there's no such thing in heaven. All the diseases that little children died of in this, chicken pox, and also all these different other things, polio, scarlet fever, and all of these, some dying right at childbirth, and some dying 2 or 3 months afterwards, and all dying death. But yet they're brought alive in heaven, because there's no such thing as death in heaven, because they're little children. Jesus said, suffer them to come unto him, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So then we're dwelling on the little children in heaven. Now, as I told you in the first half an hour of this tape, how up on these across the boulevard before the throne of God, or what? So you can let me tell you exactly what it is. So, I mean, it's a tremendous area before there, 1,000 mile wide or whatever. And here it is elevated on the other side in levels, coming from the level of this boulevard, as I call it, and then street of it, because I can call it that because beside the river, John saw the street. He said the street of it so I recognize it and I did it as a boulevard because that's the way I saw it. So then with these hundreds and hundreds of miles long of this boulevard, a million miles long, or more or less, I believe more, there's these levels. In other words, like you'd be looking on a parade up there in different levels, up there before the throne of God. And then among it all is these little children. Oh, can they sing? They sing to the glory of God. That little aborted child had the head cut off and thrown into a wagon and taken down into the incinerator. What a horrible thing for a human to do. How they can ever do that, I don't know. Terrible. That's what I would call hell on earth. But here is this wonderful, 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 wonderful boulevard. And these thousands and thousands of little children right there on that beautiful seats along the press, all mixing among them. And really and truly and without question, singing, coming out and doing their part, singing among the angels, singing and playing instruments, those little children playing instruments of all kinds. And they're so happy. They're so real and so happy that they're joyously singing and happy as they do their own entertaining for God and for the people in heaven. And they are really professionals in heaven. They don't have to learn because God makes them perfect singers. And God makes them perfect players. God makes them perfect in what they do for God. So then if you think of that little child that was killed, automobile accidents or whatever, burned up, went to death in an airplane like it just happened, and went to death here. And what is the most wonderful part about it is, you look how this little girl, which just happened in Northwest Airlines, one survivor there, people begin to send her presents and so forth. I didn't hear the last report of her yet, but I pray for her. But there's one little child asking for mom and daddy. Where's her mom and daddy? She didn't know. And her mother put her arms around her, the mother's love for a child. Put her arms around her, protect her from the fire. And the mother evidently was burnt to a charred piece. And the little child wrapped herself around the little child to keep the fire off, because when a fire burns, it takes a long time in burning the body before it touches the inward part of the body, such as the entrails, the kidneys, and all that. It has to burn away that other flesh. And here was this little girl wrapped around by her mother and still alive. That's a mother's tender care for the child. Jesus has tender care for the child because the little children come to him. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." He loved the little children. And then the song goes in Sunday school, "Jesus loves the little children." Very, very wonderful. It goes on to say, as the song says, "Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight." And here's exactly the way it is in heaven. Here's the love of God for these little children, the love of God. But they're brought up into the beauty of love and holiness of the Lord in heaven. There they are playing their beautiful instruments. And then they have a parade of the little children. I saw the parade of the little children. There they are, taking their part, marching up before the throne of God. And Jesus has charge of that parade of the little children because he blesses them, but he brings them out from their abode, 10,000 square miles of playground. Some go up among the place where the orchestras are, take their place up there and come back and go to the playground. And then they have a parade of the little children before God, as they prayed before God. Can you imagine that child that was aborted, his head cut off, and all that, and then God brought that child alive and brought him to heaven, made him a living being? course he can do it. If he made angels, if he did all these things, he can certainly take and make a child. Make their bodies anew, only a spiritual body, only a transformed body, there before the throne of God, walking up, and Jesus, suffer little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. There is those little children praying before God, and God nodding his head to them because they're a part of his living self. That's a part. We're a part of the living God. When God breathed into our nostrils, man became a living soul, but there's no life without conception. There's no life. The child comes from the woman, and that was the way God ordained it. That's right. And God ordained that he didn't say that that child should be born and then killed just to be there in this earth for a second. But what it's for is for the definite real reality of joy unspeakable and full of glory, and to see those children march. Oh, they can do a job. You know, like on this earth, they have this marches of the Russians. They have this precision marching of the communism march in Moscow. They have parades in the United States of soldiers and all that. But listen to me, please. Here is these marches in London. The parades are so perfect. Nothing bad about it. Don't go slovenly or wrong and just slovenly or wrong. Oh, no. It goes to a perfect march of the love of God as they walk along before God. And here comes the little children walking. Heaven's a glorious place, I want to tell you. A real place, a place of deliverance. Because you're already delivered there is where you go when you're born again. And where I'm talking about, a place up somewhere in the blue. Jesus went off in the blue. Yes, he did. He went off, and then you go out. You go out tomorrow. And then you out if the sun does not shine. Just look up in the blue. Just look up there and try to consider what's up there. Well, heaven's up there. I found that heaven's up there. God has prepared a place. Songs have been sung about it. Preachers have preached about it. Preachers have preached and preached and preached about it. All kinds of sermons and everything. But God let me, my soul, go. And it's Bible because it says, your old man dream dreams and visions, signs and wonders, real experiences of that. I've met so many since I've had this experience of the joy of heaven. They said, oh, I had an out-of-body experience too. And I've seen so many. They were scared to tell it because they were frightened that people would ridicule them. Not me. I don't care what they say. I'm telling you, I saw heaven and that's it. My soul went into heaven and that's it, period. There's no compromise or anything. It happened to me and I was there. And it's exactly true. And here is so many that I go along now. So many. One woman over in France. There. She said, I had an experience. I had an out-of-body experience. It was wonderful. She said, I was caught away in the Spirit, and I spent several hours in heaven with Jesus. You did? Yeah. But I didn't want to tell it. I was scared to tell it. And here's others had the same. Your old man shall dream dreams. Many has told me of the dreams they've had of heaven and the visions they've had of them, and some the experience of the soul actually going, what you call an out-of-body experience. Now, in this closing, this next 15 minutes, I want to go all over God's heaven for you in the last 15 minutes of this 12-hour series. Now, just in your mind again, remember, Jesus is organizing a great army of super angels, along with Michael, the archangel. And Jesus, they're white horses in heaven. And Jesus is going to come out of heaven and come there and fight the dragon. That's the dragon. The devil has become a dragon, switching his old tail all around through the stars. John saw him in Revelation. I saw a vision of him too. But he's going to take and take, he's got seven heads. Jesus is going to take Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. That's one of the actions. I saw that army in heaven. Then, again, I saw the banqueting house. With his banner over me was love. And in the banqueting house, 10,000 square miles of dining room. Just try to think how many of that would seat. Look at 10,000 square miles in the middle of America. 10,000 miles square. It's only 3,000 across, a little over 3,000 across the whole United States. That's all. North and south. I'm talking about 10,000 miles this way, that way, and the other way. And that's a dining room. Now, no wonder it's going to hold billions. Billions and billions and billions of people is going to be in there. All eating of the heavenly manna. Now, then I saw the river of life. That beautiful river of life running out from the throne of God. And John saw it too. And each side of the street of it, there's it's like another gorgeous river. And trees alongside of that river, and a tree of life. The tree, the bearing the fruits, 12 different fruits a year, and the leaves on it for the healing of the nations. Then I saw the windows of heaven. Windows looking out to eternity, the blessing tables. The blessing of tithing, the blessing of heave offering, the blessing of the love offering, the blessing of the sacrifice offering. I saw that too in heaven. Then I saw also the seats of authority. I sat on the seats to the left hand of God. Seats, seat of wisdom, seat of knowledge. Seat of long suffering, all these seat of love. I sat on those seats, and those seats are there in heaven. And Jesus took me to those seats. God put his left hand, like silken feathers, down over my body, my soul body, not my earthly body, but my soul body. And then I saw the wedding garment. Needlework place. Here's another place. Tremendous size. And there's all these angels in there making the wedding garments for you. And it's going to take billions of wedding garments. And there I saw that as the beautiful garments were being made to fit over the top of your heavenly body. Your heavenly body. No wonder the old song. Then I saw the chariots. Right over the top of the city four square. I'm going through everything again. The chariots. 1,500 square miles of a garage. Now 1,000 square miles, but here's 1,500 square miles. 1,500 square miles of a garage, just garage alone. With all of the wonderful chariots. No wonder the old song says, swing low, sweet chariot, oh, to carry me home. I heard some people sing that one time, so beautiful in a meeting I was in. Swing low, sweet chariot. They're sweet chariots, and there I saw those chariots. That's right, you people that believe that Elijah went up in chariot and you sing that song. I saw the chariots, and they're there. So your song is not in vain. Maybe God will send a chariot for you. I don't know. If he didn't for me, he sent an angel and to take my angel and me to heaven. Then also, there is the great, wonderful City Four Square. This City Four Square, try to think of it. Standing up there 1,500 miles high, 15 square cubic miles. That's a mile each from corner to corner. And this great, tremendous, great building, transparent. All the beautiful levels and all the transparent gold and every room in there. You can see the throne of God. You can see it. No man could build a building like that, no way. And then the altar of God. That's a spectacular sight to see the brazen altar. I haven't got any notes before me. Holy Ghost brings all this wonderful visitation to heaven to my memory. And there is the brazen altar. Now the brazen altar is full of hot coals, fire before the throne of God. And then there's a golden altar, the golden altar, the brazen altar. This is where your prayers go. They put your prayers on the golden altar, transfer them over to the brazen altar, and with the fire then begins to make those prayers turn into vapor, into like mist. Then they go right up before the throne of God, vapor. They go right up before the throne of God, like as a vapor goes up there and over God's throne, over God's head, and down onto the crystal sea, and it turns into a rainbow. That rainbow, I'm going through everything again as I saw that rainbow, going over into the crystal sea, and there stands Jesus. It lights him all up, and then his eyes open up. Nobody could paint paint a picture. No artist could do it as I saw Jesus there in that spectacular reality of him, looking up towards his Father, and his eyes becoming so powerful and so bright that he lights up his Father and lights up all of heaven. That is a spectacular reality in itself. That's right. The altar. Then the throne of God. Oh, the great throne of God. As I've said it, there it is protruding way up above the city four square. And there's God sitting on his throne, God the Father. As you go up, and I went up, and God touched me with his feet, that was enough. Wouldn't you be satisfied if God just touched you with your feet? But you hear them say, heard the voice of God, heard the voice of God. But I want to tell you, when he just touched and just spoke a little bit to me, it was such a tremendous power and reality upon my soul, just to have God say just two or three words to me. That's all it took. That's all. It didn't take a big, long conversation. I've heard some say, well, God laid it all out for there. Well, I do not disqualify that whatsoever. Whatever you saw of God, God bless you. But here is this wonderful, wonderful reality of God, our Father, speaking just a few words to me. That was enough. And then looking over beyond that, in the crystal sea, the spectacular sea of glass. The sea of glass, so tremendous. 10,000 times 10,000 angels dancing on the sea of glass all at one time. That's a tremendous dance floor. And I told you, my mother danced with me on the sea of glass. And then, of course, the temple itself. Here's the great temple of heaven, where everybody worships God. Here's this great temple with seats like a gigantic church. The church rolls on. The church rolls on. The church rolls on. Like Jesus was that stone that came rolling out of Babylon. There's this great and mighty temple, all facing the throne, and the singing so gorgeous and so beautiful, and the only reality of man upon in heaven. There's no pictures of anything else, hardly, but the martyrs. The martyrs that gave their life for Jesus illuminate with their souls the walls of the temple, because they gave their life for Jesus. That's right, their life for Jesus. Illuminate. That's right. Their reward is life eternal forever and ever. And then you can see all of the rest of heaven, the beauty of heaven, the glory of heaven, the glorious reality of heaven. And I know when you get there, you are really going to enjoy it. And then the bells that I told you over God's throne and all the reality of everything and the throne of God. And to close it off here in this half an hour, the 24 elders, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts are so real. The 24 elders, the 4 beasts, the 24 elders throw their crowns and the 4 beasts down before the feet of Jesus. Oh, they're so heavy. And then, and the glories of God in heaven strikes up with all the glorious and the powerful music. Strikes up. Hallelujahs and the glories, glories, and the amens and the amens. Forever eternal life, forever eternal life, forever and ever, with no more death, no more sorrow, and no more tears. Friends, pray in the closing of this last tape. Father, we thank you for helping us do this 12 hours of reality of heaven. 12 hours of heaven. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. God be with you till we meet again. Amen. Yes, friends, this last hour of this 12 series of tapes, I'm going to take you into heaven in just a little while and show you some things that are real. This last hour, I will be in heaven a whole lot of it. And first, I would like to bring out how many denominations there are. Many. According to records, there's 973 Christian organizations in the United States that is registered. Now, this is a lot of them. But there's only one Jesus, one Christ, and one real church. With all the problems that has befallen the Christian faith, the church still rolls on. The church rolls on regardless of all of the stones that's been thrown against it and the persecutions and the heartaches and the dark ages and all these things. The real church still rolls on because Jesus came rolling through Babylon, established the real church. So therefore, heaven is a wonderful place and so beautiful, but there's one thing you don't see in heaven. No way. You don't see the markings, not one markings, of any man-made organization. Not one. Not one. Now, the word Baptist does not enter inside of heaven. No way. No way. Neither does the Assembly of God. Neither does the earthly so-called Church of God. Not one has got a place marked up in heaven for them. I know what I'm talking about because I spent 5.5 days in heaven with Jesus. 5.5 days in there with him. Therefore, what I saw, I saw. In other words, you don't have a great big spot in heaven for an organization like the Assembly of God, although they have fellowship together down here and work apart, many do, from other organizations, and have a separate doctrine and separate ideas of how to get to heaven. All got their own theology of how to get there. The theologies are man-made, really. It's man-made idea in trying to know exactly how to worship God down here according to the man-made laws and the man-made rules and the man-made regulations. That's man's work. I didn't even see a Presbyterian sign up there. I did not see any signs. Didn't see a Methodist sign up there. Didn't see one. Not one did I see in heaven of any man-made organization, not whatsoever. But I did see the word Christians. Now, Christians, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, I understand it was not done by Christians themselves, but they were called Christians. Christian, followers of Christ. Christ's people, the people of Jesus, the people of God. And in heaven, here's what I saw. I saw the glory and the worship of God. All Christians and all believers and all those were come together in the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the Lord to worship God in heaven. What a difference. Man-made laws and man-made bylaws are absolutely their own ideas. Own ideas. Just exactly man-made. So if such an organization is man-made, then it'll disintegrate and go to nothing when the rapture takes place, because you will not take that name, Presbyterian Church of God, Assembly of God, on your tab. In other words, you'll go to heaven with a wedding garment on, and it will not be tagged, I'm a Methodist or I'm a Baptist. You'll go clear with that wedding garment on, and you'll be filled with the glory of God, the glory of our Father Jesus, and our Jesus and the Holy Ghost. This is the way you'll go. So then you'll come clean before God, leaving all earthly titles down here, and go right into the worship of God in heaven. Worship of God. Now, we're God's children. That's right, the children of God. The children, the child of God, the born-again Christian of God, will go into heaven regardless of their earthly affiliation. When I saw Bishop Mason in heaven, his organization was called Church of God in Christ. But I didn't see that anywhere. Didn't set that name in heaven at all. Didn't see it. I didn't see anything, such a thing. No way. There he was in heaven, glorifying God, waiting for his body to come up to heaven. There he was in heaven, waiting for his body to come up. Now, we're all one. One, we used to sing a song, one in the Holy Ghost, one in the name of Jesus, one under the Father, one in the Holy Ghost. Very clear, we used to sing that song. So then what makes us one is not being a Methodist, Baptist, or Pentecostals, or anything like that. What makes us one is to be in the Spirit with Jesus Christ and washed in the blood and born of the same Spirit. So then we're born of the same Spirit. Now, walking down Hallelujah Boulevard, that's what I call it, in front of God's throne, walking down this tremendous wide boulevard, I want you to think of the base of the throne and God the Father on his throne, and then all the spectacular reality of this great boulevard. How wide is it? Well, it's at least, look to me, 1,000 miles wide. A boulevard 1,000 miles wide, yes. And there is all the parades on this boulevard. Now, the ones that are greatly recognized in heaven is the martyrs. Now, there's been men of God, like in, for instance, some of the organizations. I know very well several of them, have an experience. Some of the men fell in early. I know one organized in 1914. I was 12 years old then, and one of the leaders fell to sin, very much so, fell to sin. But you see, like David, when he repented, God took him back, so he's no different than David. That's right. And there's been thousands in the church has fell to sin. That's right. But there's a place of forgiveness. You see, God forgave David, and what it takes is coming before the throne of God. Now, I said the throne of God. Laid it all on the altar, and there you'll find deliverance reality. But the ones in heaven that are greatly recognized is the martyrs. And what is a martyr? A martyr is one that was killed for being a Christian, killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a martyr. And heaven's full of them. That's right. And when you see this wonderful boulevard, this great white boulevard, as I call it a boulevard, I do that so you can understand what that is, really a boulevard. Then you see all the parades on that boulevard, and you see all the dancing, 10,000 times 10,000 angels dancing before the throne of God. And then you see the martyrs, and the dancing stops then. Here comes the martyrs out from under the throne of God, and these martyrs were put to death on this earth by many of them religionists, put them to death. That's right. Many religionists put those martyrs to death. And many today, especially with all of this terrorism and everything, martyrs are being killed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they have a great place in heaven, going up before the throne of God, so beautiful, so great, and God recognized them because they were willing to give their life, what they had and everything, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How wonderful. So let's go back walking on that boulevard and see what we can see on the boulevard. Now, before the throne, there are all of these great mansions, hundreds of miles of mansions, beautiful, all looking to the throne of God. Now, the boulevard is over the top of those mansions, just like an elevated part. The mansions are underneath the boulevard, underneath the great place before the throne of God, underneath the mansions. But yet, in the level these mansions are, the level they are, they can look kind of on an angle, look straight up to the throne of God. Three definite levels of mansions, not a level of heaven, but three levels, and in themselves, on the base of the throne is where they are, base of the throne. But then the martyrs come up out from under the throne of God. And when they do, they are above the mansions. And there's the mansions underneath, and the martyrs walking along on a boulevard on top of the mansions. They're given this kind of a recognition in heaven. While there's all these great winners, soul winners, that has to have these places in heaven, bigger mansions, great big mansions, they're recognized as men who won and women who won thousands of souls. But the reason they got big mansions for is because they entertain the mansions. And I'm sorry, they entertain the ones who they won to Jesus, the souls. Entertain those. And therefore, they have to have a place to entertain them. So it's wonderful when they say that, my convert, I won that convert to Jesus, and he's a follower of Jesus, but I was the one that preached the God. What a wonderful feeling to know that you're a big soul winner. So God fixes a special mansion for those souls. Well, let me tell you now about the martyrs. Now, here's the martyrs. They're coming, they're walking out from under the altar. And here they come up past the mansions, right up, as it were, like a kind of a boulevard from the lower level to the higher level before the throne of God. And they stream out of there. These martyrs stream out of there. And they're given preeminence over all of the other people in heaven because they gave their life. They gave their life to God. Now, they'll stay under the altar praying until the rapture. Then after the rapture, they'll come out and receive their heavenly reward. And the heavenly reward will be a mansion higher above all the soul winners' mansions. And already Jesus is building those mansions, a row of mansions for the ones that gave their life for the gospel. Oh, how those mansions shine, the martyrs' mansions, ready for them. They're shining with onyxes and gold and shining with all kinds of precious stones and all kinds of beautiful decorations, the mansions of the martyrs. And I've never mentioned this before because I was saving this for one of the last part of the tapes of this last series because how you'd know how beautiful heaven is. But they come out and parade before God every day except one day a week, and that's the day of rest. God still has a day of rest. They come out and they walk before. Sometimes they do come out on the day of rest. That's up to God what he wants to do. Sometimes they do that, but not all the time. And there they come and they march all up before the throne of God. The Apostle Paul is one of the leaders of them because he gave his life. They chopped his head off or whatever way they killed him. There's Peter because he gave his life. And there's John of Patmos, because he gave his life. And all of these martyrs that were martyrs come out from under the throne and march before God, and God recognized them. And when they make their march, all other music stops. And the song of the martyrs is sang in heaven. Not the song of the redeemed, the song of the martyrs. Song of the martyrs, so beautiful, such a beautiful song sang in heaven, because they gave their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing. I saw somebody dying as a martyr. Most beautiful sight you could ever see, because the martyr was joyous. They were not crying and saying, "Save me," but they were going to their death with a smile upon their face, glorifying and praising God. Glorifying and praising the Lord, because they were able to give their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a man in South America, a missionary, that gave his life. He was killed by the terrorists. And as he was dying, he wrote this letter: "I'm glad that I'm giving my life for the gospel of Jesus Christ." He died happy. He didn't die trying to wiggle out of it, but he died happy, because a martyr in dying can see right straight into heaven. Now, have you got scripture that preacher? Yes, I have. All you got to look at the martyr Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, and Paul was one that held the coat, and he said he looked up into heaven during the time and saw the glory of God. He told God not to lay this sin to their charge, because they didn't know what they were doing. In other words, right in that death, he had the love of God in his heart, the love of God for those that were killing him. Can you imagine such a thing? You know why? Because he was looking to heaven, and he was so happy, because he knew exactly in 6 hours that his soul would be inside of heaven in joyous reality. Now, when I saw the martyrs in heaven and talked to some of the martyrs, and they told me exactly the feeling they had leaving this earth to go to heaven. The feeling, the beautiful feeling. But yet, they go and pray the prayer under the altar, saw them praying the prayer: How long, O Lord, will it be before we avenge our enemy? Now, let's go back onto the boulevard. Now, here's the boulevard of heaven. There's all kinds of heavenly signs on that boulevard. There is, before you can look on the altar real clear, nothing is obscured or nothing is an oblivion in heaven. Everything is clear. You can see all over God's heaven, whatever position you take, wherever you're standing. You can see all over the city, all the city of God. That's the city of God. And then here's the beautified. You could go down Fifth Avenue or any boulevard of any big city in the world, and it does not compare in any way, shape, or form with a great parade boulevard before the throne of God. Now, I want to try to bring to you the spectacular reality of this great boulevard. Here it is, trying to estimate through heavenly figures, say 1,000 feet, a thousand miles wide. A thousand miles wide. A foot is the same as a mile with God. 1,000 miles wide, and parades going on all the time on it. Here is the angels dancing. When the martyrs' parade is going on, here's the martyrs parading, and the dancing stops, and sometimes it continues, God wants it to. And then there's all the beautiful music. Now, if you can understand the music, all on the boulevard. Now, as you look to the throne of God, say, walking with your right hand toward God and your left hand away from the throne, walking along there, either way you walk. So you look up to God, and there's God's throne. But then on the left is all of these orchestras, all of the music all along there, thousands and thousands of miles of music, harps playing, and all kinds of instruments of all kinds, saxophones, pianos, and all kinds of organs and marimbas and everything, all arranged along that boulevard. And I'm talking about Just a few hundred feet. I'm talking about miles of it. I've gone in some parades, been in a few of them, and seen parades and watched parades. Long will come this float and that float, Tournament of Roses in California, Pasadena, all the flowers and all the different parades of the United States, Christmas parades, football parades, and all kinds of parades with floats and all kinds of different exhibitions that man has made for other men to see. Now, but we turn to the boulevard of heaven. Now, I want to visualize heaven's a gigantic place with a gigantic reality, because it's got to accommodate billions of souls, not just a million. Boy, you get a million together here, and you think that something's really happened. Billion. They tell me when I go to Korea, I'll be speaking to a billion. By the way, I'm going to Korea, and over there to the same place where Billy Graham preached, that great big place there. But nothing can compare with the boulevard before God. Now, let's start on that boulevard from one end to the other. You're starting, you look to the right, and there's the throne of God. But yet, when you look to the left, you can't take your eyes off the throne of God. The throne shows up right before you. You can't stop worshiping God. There it is, right there. But all of these orchestras there. Try to think of a choir after choir, choir after choir of angels just singing to the glory of God. 10,000 times 10,000 choirs all along there with elevated seats, elevated exhibition seats. And there is all of these wonderful musicians playing, tremendous harps all along there, all playing to the glory of God. So that alone entertain us as we go to hear, and then also the beautiful singing. Now, I've heard some beautiful voices down near singing. Now, heaven is just not a place, a ship-shod place. It's a real place, and a real, organized, really, properly run by God. Now, that God's got something perfect there. Okay, then, do you say that somebody here with a beautiful voice singing to God, like the holy city, they have to keep that quiet forever? Never. They sing more beautiful. Outward Step used to be a lady with neither female nor male activities. Vice, same thing with the men. Step out, and God recognizes that they come out to sing to the glory of God. Such beautiful voices coming out, and this is what heaven's going to be. So that then it'd be spectacular. Nothing in the world to touch it. Nothing to come up with it ever. Nothing ever built like it, nothing ever done like it, nothing ever such a beautiful reality of all of these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful different orchestras all along, and different singers, and all kinds of musics, everything, tremendous harps, tremendous organs, all along there, and facing God, and all playing to the glory of God. Now, a lot of you might have an idea that heaven's just a little old 2x4, with just a little place to go, and just there where you sit in an animation forever. Oh, no, it's eternal life. Heaven is full of eternal life, and life is life. And some enjoy darkness and love darkness rather than life. There's no darkness in heaven, no dark corner, no place to hide, no place to do your own little thing. Heaven is so an open book with God that you're right there worshiping God in the most glorious, precious way, worshiping God. Then when you get to the end of this great, long host of singers and of music players and all, then all at once the whole thing, the whole entertainment, I would call it, all comes out with one great big burst to the glory of God. The glory of God so precious and so real that it's just spending 5.5 my soul. Now, let me get this clear, not my body. My soul spending 5.5 days inside heaven. was one of the most wonderful and the most wonderful experiences of my Christian life. I've had visions, and I've had dreams, and I've had all these things through the years, but this experience of 5.5 days in heaven is something to last in my life forever and ever and ever and ever. And then, friends, also beside this, there is the higher height of heaven. Now, I want you, please, to try to get this understanding. Here is all, then above that great throne of God, the bells are ringing. I've told about that many times. Here are the bells. And the bells ring. Now, these bells ring whenever souls come into heaven. I don't know what will happen after the souls come in, but those bells are so beautiful, the joy bells of heaven. They're joy bells. Now, bells have always had kind of a special place in my heart because the bell ringers used to come around our house at Christmas. It always gave me a kind of happy feeling, because in heaven, and I sense that happy feeling as a boy. Heaven gives you a very happy, happy, happy feeling. You're happy. And it's wonderful to be happy. Who wants to be grouchy? Not me. Who wants to be kicking? Who wants to be critical? Not me. There's no such thing as a critical spirit in heaven. Everything is the pure glory and the love of God. Now, what would really spoil it? And I mean it would spoil it. Said a great big sign up there, Assembly of God, right in the middle of it all. My, no way. Or a great big sign says Baptist Department. Or a great big sign says Methodist Department. Or a great big sign says Presbyterian Department. And that would just spoil it. But no, it's all the glorious harmony and the glorious reality of God on His throne. And there's Jesus. There is Jesus. Jesus. You know, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, looking up into the blue of the sky, looking up into the blue of the great sky, there was the three wise men, the star of Bethlehem, that led them to there to come. Friends, in this last and next half hour of this tape, I'm going to come to the ultimate of this wonderful reality. You want to write to me again, I'll be able to send you. We'll have more books of heaven, more things. I'm certainly you want to know more about heaven. And also, beside that, the glory of God. May God be with you and bless you. I pray, oh God, touch these precious people hard as they listen to this tape. Bless them abundantly with divine strength and divine health. We ask it all in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Bless you.